Okay, good evening. It's Wednesday night, it's 7 o'clock, and where are we?
We're always here.
We're always here, we've always been here, and unfortunately, we will always be here. And we're on Chapter 8. This is Life in the Labyrinth by E.J. Gold, and we're going to take a shot at it tonight. The title of this particular chapter is Lightning Handlers Always Crackle. I certainly expect that we will get through this entire chapter, but it's not, I guarantee you, this is not a comfortable chapter. You may enjoy it, you may like it, you may be swept away by how wonderful some of the thoughts are that are in here. That's the...
Is that a movie reference?
That's the icing on the cake. The issue that is put at our feet with this chapter is very powerful. It's very powerful. But we're going to touch on that. And we're going to touch on it with some... We'll see how we do. So, I think... Ivan, why don't you read the intro then?
All right. The lightning handlers always crackle. We work to develop what remains after personal annihilation because only that is truly able to work. To understand love is to dissolve the self and the subjective mysteries of appearances into it.
Help me clarify that last sentence. I understand the first part of it. To understand love, I understand it as I am able to understand it. To understand love is to dissolve the self. And then it says, and the subjective mysteries of appearance into it.
Appearances, yeah. Yeah, that's quite a summary, isn't it? Yeah.
What does it mean? What does the second part mean? That dissolve the self into love.
Into love, yeah.
And the subjective mysteries of appearances are our perceptions thereof.
If you dissolve the subjective, then it's like the thing, it's the annihilation of the self or of the, or of the machine. Anyway, the I believe it means there's no more subjective.
So this is talking about something about dissolving the self into something. I wonder if we'll find out a little bit more about it. Let's see if we can get into it here. In the macro-dimensional space, that's why I mentioned we have this is cumulative information here, and it's cumulative based on our ability to at least taste of this. This is not an intellectual conversation here. We are not attempting to do scholarly work here. We're trying to do the work of explorers. We're actually marking the trail and the path as we go down through this. We are the Lewis and Clark of this area for ourselves. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So in that macro-dimensional space, that's what it's called, that's where we start. Voyagers are able to perceive themselves as thoroughly connected appendages to one single body from which one must isolate, sever the subtle connections in order to be able to say this formula that's here. The formula is called, I love you. And and then he refers to it as the shamanistic jargon, I love you. This is a formula as potent as any critical and key formula in a line of software code that creates a function that then occurs. That's the formula. Now, everybody, I don't know who all is on, but I do know, what I do know is that pretty much everybody understands that we're not talking about the subjective romantic love of life. This is something very different. Here's the confusion, that it is so close. It is so close to it. It reminds us of it, and it brings forth all of the stuff we have about wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted, blah, blah, blah. All that is right there. So great care is needed in our discernment. But this form that is being talked about, this called I love you. I love you is a topological fact. When you are in that space, you are in the space called I love you. It's a different thing than any personal I. This topological fact, which refers neither to a relationship of two beings nor to an activity. To the shaman, jumping ahead, love can be seen as a continuing existence substance. Now, we are going to shift off of your mental brain for a second. Allow that to go away. Attempt not to figure it out, but to sense what we're talking about right now. Right now, because we are gathered in group, it is an unusual opportunity. For 1 hour on Wednesday nights, we gather in group, and there's a small opportunity to sense what this manifestation is that we're talking about. And slow down, stop that little side activity so you can convince yourself you went to the class, and sense that emanation that is coming through. That's the beginning of the case called the space, I love you. That is something we can take in. And real love implies serious risk. And risk in the work sense means to take chances outside the human dimension. Now, when we read this, most of us think, oh, yeah, I just need to, I know I can get better, I can figure this out. And what we're really talking about when you, in those, most brains say, my ego can just get bigger, and I can handle it, and I can do this. And what we're really talking about is taking these fruits, and these are fruits of a divine nature. And we're talking about taking them and, oh, I, and my ego can, because that's who I am. That's not what's talked about in this chapter. What's talked about in this chapter is something fundamentally different. It's, what did it say, Ivan? Annihilation.
An annihilation of the subjective appearances, mystery of appearances.
And we read that, we go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I can do that. Oh, yes, easy. I can do that. I'm a heavy hitter. I can do that. And it's I until I want to go bleh, and vomit at the rain of ego. It's just immense. We take risks for the sake of love. Love is the eternal substance, the living presence which humans have always thought of as their God, before which, now check this out, no creature can stand and fail to be annihilated. If you actually are interested, walk into that space of love and you are no more. Not, oh, yeah, I'm a heavy hitter, I can be there. That's not what we're talking about. We're literally talking about a different modality. Love is the very object of adoration. I'm not sure about that particular formulation, actually. It's not that it's that as the object of formulation of adoration. It is adoration. It is that model. That is the power that we surrender to. And then we are that. And then we can start to understand these. And by understand, I mean a different thing. We are. We become that. We become that space. We ought to be able to allow love to ebb and flow, to move freely through us without the slightest quiver of resistance. What does that mean to you, Ivan? Without the slightest quiver of resistance. Anybody?
Well, that means, we know there's a term that EJ uses, which is Bardo hooks. I mean, you know, something that's a hook, something that's rough, that isn't going to let the energy flow smoothly. So, you know, a habitual.
I call it
a habit of mine.
And I call it, in a certain way, also a lack of a certain form of discipline. That when we get into that form, that level of energy, and like I remember early going on, I won't mention the name, but to a particular lecture of a particular teacher in one of these, and everybody sits there and goes, oh, you know, have these, you know, with the hands, and they go like
mudras,
and all, and that's like, oh, if I have that, I'm so spiritual. That's ego. And then they go, oh yeah, I did this, and they can't stop talking about how advanced they were.
But this would also, it could also go by typicality. It would be like an obstacle. What is it? An obstacle to the free ebb and flow, you know, of the energy of the love. Could be something like, oh, I have to understand this. Now I have to understand this now before I'm, you know, then I can allow something to happen. As long as I understand what it is that's going to happen.
That person doesn't even get into the space. That person.
I'm saying that's a mental habit.
That person is so mental that they don't even know, oh, everybody else is blown away and they go, oh, what happened? Because they love it up here, because it's safe up here. Because what we're talking about is annihilation of the ego. And if you are blessed enough to be in such a space where that grace is descending on you, and you have all of this stuff, then maybe you're not honoring it. Because maybe at that moment what we're talking about is a particular form of surrender. But you have to practice this. This is not simple.
Surrender is a good...
Surrender is a
good
giant
for
tool
for this phenomenon.
We're talking about the sword, the great sword of Raphael, who split something. What is he splitting? We love to read about that. We go, oh, yeah, that's a good. What he's splitting is our actual ego attachment to ourselves. The ego is almost infinite. But the infinite is infinite. That's the difference.
Our ego is not infinite.
Not infinite, no. It is not.
Because
you can step outside it. Yeah. And you can be, because when you are imbued with grace, there is no.
Yeah, I think that EJ has a particular paradox that he uses to get at this, you know, what you're talking about, which is that that absolutely anything and everything is annihilated in the face of God, and nothing. So, how do you stand in the face of God? Is that you have to be nothing?
You are.
You have to be what is there after annihilation. That's what there remains after annihilation is what can work with this love that he's talking about here.
But we have such a giant ego. We say, I'm probably what's there after annihilation. I'm the one that's there, but I'll just be, you know, better. No, it's the quiver of fear that comes about in that space is because we don't know what it is that is left after this annihilation. That, as he's implying, that's what begins the work.
So I don't think you can formulate what that nothing is, what it is that's left at the
end. Of course you can.
Either. So it's something that he can point to, which is what he does in this chapter, I think.
It is neither desirable nor possible to entirely eliminate fear, especially the fear of love. We might never overcome the automatic squirming spasm which arises, but we can learn to work within the energy field we call love with serious training, perhaps even learn to like it. That's what we learned in the last chapter. We can think of love as just a dreadful inconvenience with which a shaman has learned to live. Remember, we have to get to a point where we don't mind the pain. And I guarantee you, when you get to a certain point, that pain is a burning, searing feeling coming from your, you know, this part, the central part of your heart chakra. But it is, you're compelled to follow it because this is what you're meant, where you're meant to live. And the pain and the burning sensation, we briefly talked about this idea of the cleansing radiation.
Mm-hmm.
What a gift. What a gift it is to be in that space and to even be in this space tonight. That we are here at the gift of the cosmos to experience a little grace in our lives this evening. We don't want to interfere with our natural reactions so long as, in spite of our fear reactions, we do not disturb the flow of energy. This has to do with a certain etiquette, and we talked about this. Did we talk about this earlier in this book? The etiquette of being in, or was it? One of the other times before
it might
now,
the joy of sacrifice.
We spoke about
the green book, which is the joy of sacrifice.
That's right. And when you're in that space, you look around and you see what is the proper etiquette. And you may not know, but you can know certain general rules like don't react. Move slowly, move simply, and move with honor and quite frankly, and with adoration.
So the advice of the Hitchhiker's Guide also applies, which is simply don't panic.
Well, even
like
if you
live
panic,
with fear, but you have to sit with fear. You have
there
to
you
stay,
go, Ivan.
You have to stay
there you go.
In the state of being fearful, but you don't react. You don't do something automatic. He talks about, doesn't he say spasms? He talks about the primate.
We just follow the finish that.
Like
squirming spasms.
Spasms, you know, so
that's going to come from the primate.
You have to work that out.
But as the voyager, you can say, okay, when that happens, maybe I can just sit with it for a moment longer. A lot of you, I don't know of a lot of you, but some of you might have been meditators where you're asked to meditate for 2 or 3 days in a row. And you're sitting there, and your knee is exploding because you forgot to do this. And yet, you suddenly begin to see it as just a sensation. And how do you get to a sensation? You open up to it. We're talking about learning to open up. But the opening up does not come from the ego being, oh, I know, I get it, I'm smarter, I understand more today. It's a different technique, and the technique is opening up to a surrender to the white heat of that space. You know, it's actually, it's a great feedback mechanism. When you get into that space,
to see where you stand,
where you are. And that's a gift in itself.
Well, he also says, I think it's very encouraging, and maybe we haven't gotten to that yet in this chapter, where he says, where you can take it in small doses. It's like where every experience is doing a little more cleansing.
That's right.
A little more preparation. I mean, this part here is saying you'd be...
We can make it through. We know we can because we've been doing this shamanic business for an unaccountably long time, and we're still here to tell the tale.
And we're still here to tell a tale.
Yeah, that we're, you know, the fact if it were fatal, if, let's say, having done this macro-dimensionally speaking in whatever our macro-dimensional lives look like, you know, if there were a high death toll in doing this, you know, we wouldn't be here.
Not only that, I say also that at the moment, the earth is ruled by the barbarian king. The barbarian king is spreading his wings across the face of the planet, and he makes the chest move of saying, I declare I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And the only offset, as indicated in the Bible, this is a battle between powers and principalities. And our offset to that is to take the stand of allowing ourselves to be in that space, and allowing that to hit us, not to resist that, but to let it express itself. And, you know, I don't know if I've said this before, but I always get the feeling, you know, there's this concept that, you know, the secret keeps itself. And
right.
Certainly in the fourth way, we love to hear that. And the ego,
yeah.
The fourth way, there's secret. Bullshit. What it is that the secret keeps itself. What God is looking for is one more person that will take the willingness to take on and allow love in this sense and grace to flow through them. That's the secret. We are told not nearly enough that the absolute is love. So a relationship with love ought to work out as some sort of a direct relationship with the absolute. We don't know much about this yet, but we might not know what it really means for a long time. But just a temporary relief to be, you can be sure. So when those moments come, grasp them as that. Pretend that that's the reality, and it will become the reality.
Isn't he saying just a temporary relief, you could be sure, means that it's only temporary, that we don't know much about this?
It's temporary, but that's...
He's saying that the harshness of it is going to come on.
Yeah, and we can go into that fear part, but each moment that occurs, what I'm saying is grasp it with both hands, even if it's just a little bit, because there's just a little bit right now coming too. Allow that, grasp it, and acknowledge it, and own it. However small it is for each of us, that amount we can do, that's something you can do. We will find in our voyaging that we can't go someplace where the absolute is not. If you are, in fact, in voyaging space, if you are in voyaging and that this sense of love is descending on you, this grace is surrounds you, that is the absolute speaking forth at that moment.
That's a pretty interesting formulation.
Go ahead.
That sentence. We can't go someplace where the absolute is not, nor even someplace where the absolute is more present than another place. So, you know.
So what DJ is telling us here is that we've heard this, we've read this in the poets, we've read it in the important books, all the important books that you've read. What he's saying here is, when you smell it, that is the absolute right there. That's right there. So at that moment, acknowledge that. That's all. You know, the gateway is always before us, Ivan.
Yeah, that it's just... Right.
It's in the fire that you were burning today.
Yeah, turning in a slightly different, to a slightly different angle.
We have to turn to a slightly different angle, and we have to be in a different surrender moment. We can perhaps comprehend the shamanistic idea of risk. When we compare the uninterrupted flow of love to floating underwater with an open mouth, when we open to the presence of love, we'll surely drown. We will die before we die because love kills. The love is the ocean of a single drop within which the world is contained. And so if we can acknowledge that, we can die before we can die. We read this, we know this, we hear this, but it means to die in the ego. Do we, so can the ego, can you set it aside when this energy, this type of energy is flowing? You can set it aside, but then it's an expression of surrender. I can just hear it. And it says, oh yeah, I understand this. I know this exactly right. Well, let's see. Everything is calling at us when we open to the present of love. Oh, wait a minute. Let me read that again. I didn't hear it the first time. Everything is calling at us when we open to the presence of love. Everything wants to absorb us, and we want to dissolve, to dissipate in it. We do want so to do that. The only safety is keeping apart, holding ourselves separate from love. But then we cannot remain human. But in love, at least, and we cannot remain human and be in love, at least not the love that we mean, which is the living presence of love. To be in love is to say to be with love. There's no difference. It's not a, oh, I think I'll love this. It's, you merge into it. You merge into it. It's a vibratory thing. We've heard Silverdale talk to us about the vibratory sensation that he finds. That's what we're talking about, is to allow yourself to merge into that vibratory sensation. In the same way, unless we are able to differentiate the living presence of love from love of the primate activity, we won't really understand love at all. If you can't make that distinction, come on. You need to do work harder then. You need to work harder at understanding that distinction and honoring the love that comes from the absolute, the grace that descends upon you. You are not in control of that. Yes, I know you think you are. Love must be differentiated from the hungers of the human biological machine. Because it bars us, if we're not there and we're just in the primate, we are barred from the heart of the labyrinth, the central chamber, which is the key to all of our work. You have to ask yourself, if you are allowed to be in this grace that we are allowed to be in, what is it? Why are you here? Why are you particularly here at this moment with this concept flowing through you? Maybe there's a duty, and maybe the duty is bigger than our puny, truly puny ego. Even though you right now know you are superior to everybody you come in contact with, it pales with the duty before us. It pales. The love upon which we must learn to gaze directly without fear. And this is something we practice. We have to practice this. When we get into that formulation of love or that huge vibratory sense, practice surrendering even one inch more, one little bitty bit more. And let it have its home. Let it have its home.
Yeah, the next passage.
Go ahead.
What did you get to? The love must be different. Oh, yeah, the love upon which we must learn to gaze directly without fear, if we are to ever become able to concentrate our work attention upon it, is love the presence. And we should know that the higher emotional and mental centrums are both capable of being engulfed by the presence of love, and even applying it toward the awakening of the Shekinah, the sleeping creation, without too much destruction, because in the presence of love, the essential self does not cease to exist. Presence does not annihilate presence.
Oh, I see.
This is a great formula.
I see. So if I can actually be in presence, then that's something that is not annihilated when this force of the burning fire comes through.
Yeah, presence does not. That's a great formula. So presence does not annihilate presence.
If I believe that, ooh, what a weak phrase. What a weak phrase that I have just said. If I believe that, then when you are in the space called presence, you are in the space called the space of absolute love. You are in the grace, and the door to the heart of the labyrinth is open. But you have to own it then. It's not just that your ego's doing better right then, and you're cooler than you ever were. We've left that dock a while ago. Jumping ahead. In this way, the effect of the waking state is cumulative, because each time we open to the presence of love, a little more habitual ego self, all the accumulations of the egoistic identity, which are not pure presence, is inevitably annihilated. Wonder what that means, Simon.
Well, this is the
tell me.
Cleansing radiations again.
I see.
Or something similar to the cleansing radiations. I mean, it's saying that this ego that you're concerned about can be chiseled away, or, you know, gradually polished or dissolved away by repeated trials, repeated experiences.
Yeah, let me read that again, because I'm not sure if I got it. In this way, the effect of the waking state is cumulative, because each time we open to the presence of love. Okay, each time. So what can I do about that? What can I do to waken up? What can I do to blah, 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 blah? Each time you open to the presence of love, each time you open to that presence of love, there's a little small amount of cleansing radiation that burns off the gigantic ego. So that's something you can do. The how is right before us. The how is right before us.
Are
there questions, Janet? Go ahead.
Presence. She said presence. That she thought annihilation was what we're after. And now we're after presence.
We are presence and attention. And the simplest and easiest type of machine awakening is the awakening of the motor centrum. The next is the mental centrum. But without the higher emotional centrum, the transformational effect of the waking state is somewhat subdued. And I don't really, that's a term that comes, of course, from the Gurdjieffian work, the higher emotional apparatus. And I don't really understand what is meant by that.
Well, he's got other wording for it.
Yeah.
This is a great paragraph.
Okay.
What is Jim's question?
Well, how do we open consistently as a practice, Jim asks. Well, what do you think the answer to that is, Jim? I'm asking Jim a question. How do we open consistently to a practice? He's thinking.
Yeah, let's say take a stab at it.
Or anybody that would like
to
help out.
Yeah, what answers to it?
Practice are individualized. How do you get better at anything? How do you do it a little bit better the next time? And a little bit better, and a little... There's no on switch. There's no silver bullet that says, oh, gosh, I just did this, and now I'm always in presence.
You have to go back.
It's hard work.
Yeah, you have to repeat.
It's hard work, and you have to be willing when you're able to get into the space of presence and the space of this, of the love and grace that's there, to burn it away, to say, to try to set aside and allow yourself to surrender just for that one moment. That might be all we have, but you got that. So always to set it to be in presence, that's a toughie. But I know how to do it the next moment. And then I might be able to do it that next moment. So that's something that I can do. Go ahead, Ivan. The special emotional state in conjunction.
Well,
repeated exposure.
Before we pass
okay.
This is the sentence. I really like this paragraph.
Good,
you
thank
just
you.
Read. It, what I like is this part here. The special mood of the waking state is, as we suppose, the most difficult awakening to achieve. So this is, he's telling you something here. But without the higher emotional apparatus, the transformational effect of the waking state is so much different. So the higher emotional, we were talking about signs in the last couple of weeks,
yes.
Right? Like
markers.
Markers, like the
placing markers.
Yeah, no, but something that's your clues, something that's alerting you, let's say, that you're closer to this absolute love energy or something. There is a mood that's not of the primate or of the machine. There's a mood that's associated
correct.
With the higher emotional centrum. And that's why this whole talk, the original talk was called The ABCs of Love. And, you know, it was one of the talk of the month, and I believe it was a little bit longer than this. You know, there was question and answer and so on in it. But I can't remember the circumstances. I don't know if I was present when that talk was given, but this whole talk, it's just reading it to me, it gives me a sense of like being in a chamber with very refined incense, being in the vicinity of an altar and in a very high space that has, okay, so it doesn't just have physical characteristics, it's like there's mood involved, which is something like scent, music, sound, the light, the appearance of the light, you know, the clarity.
Color.
Yeah, clarity, you know, how you're perceiving that chamber. In other words, he's giving you clues. He's actually giving, telling us.
Ivan is describing to us what his mood is like. He's confessing, in a sense, what his marker is when he is in that space.
Yeah, or that, let's say, some experience that I've had close to, this that partakes of this nature, it generally has some unusual characteristics.
So,
say, in relation to, like, an ordinary dinner or, like, an ordinary chat with friends or
and
something.
And the distinction has to do with mood in a case like this. Jim's question is critical to what we're talking about here. The way you continue to do it over and over again is you mark the space. And when that marker shows up again, then you can say, you can sense I am in that space. And when you're in that space, then there's some work you can do at that moment. So, what is your mood? Can you describe it? If you dare, and I guarantee you most of you will not dare, and it's not because you don't have the time, because you don't dare, is describe that mood for other voyagers who come after you. Go on the website, wingsofchaos.com, and put that in there. Ivan, in front of everybody, started to describe his in high detail.
Yeah, well, I think that's partly maybe because I have associations with this talk. But there's a thought that comes to me now in regard to this, to our presence. Let's say to our presence in the
right now,
which is that I believe that this is, because this is true of a lot of EJ's writing, is that it's artifacted. It's like he's energized or empowered this, object, this material, just the
the print or the literacy or the meaning of this book, the significance of this book is somehow charged by the author in this case. You know, to me, reading this chapter brings on a mood. You know, that's why I feel, that's why I love this chapter. I feel it's very potent because I'm telling you what some of my maybe memories or associations or dreams, or it may be subjective, some of them may be my subjective mysteries.
Be careful because you're starting to get into the next chapter.
Yeah, oh, what's the next chapter? Which is?
Say the title of the next
chapter. Oh, The Art and Science of Invocation, yes.
Thank you, Ivan.
Yeah, but no,
but let's go through. We've got
to
move forward.
Yeah, I just think that it's there's a potency to some of these, books. Yeah.
We work to develop that pure presence which remains unscathed following self-annihilation, to understand love, to become part of it, and to dissolve into it. This is the opportunity before us. Using the force of love is like grasping a huge electrical conduit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are in that space, and that electrical conduit is, you can barely stand it. And I know somebody particularly that I'm thinking about who I know is, I'm pretty sure is on right now. You know, she got into this space and then she started to feel that electrical conduit and boom, split. This is saying the opposite. It's saying, for me, and I wrote down, this is what I wrote down in that paragraph, Ivan, is that when you feel that electrical conductivity, that presence of love, that burning sensation, that hard, burning sensation, that's a reminding factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's our reminding factor, and when you're in that space, it's a reminding factor to help us understand a particular form of behavior in that space. That's when you can express the sense of gratitude by acting kindly in a space like that. Certainly some part of being able to work involves being a capacitor, accumulating love as an electrical force. And we've talked about this idea of emanating before. And if you are careful in this form of voyaging, you will accumulate this. And as you accumulate that, then you save it up in a sense. And then applying it in a form of a gentle prod to bring the creation out of slumber. Force is love is la force of the tarot. Okay, that's
French.
A card he's referring
yeah,
to. But the point is that as that accumulates and you can sense it in you, then you bring it forth. And when you bring it forth, in a sense, you're bringing an opportunity forth for creation. Right? For the absolute can express at that moment. Poor absolute stuck up there and barely knocking on the door of Kether to get in to the party. And then he manifests and here we are down here on Malkuth. Give the absolute a second shot. That's all I'm saying. We perhaps, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, Ivan. We will have to go through periodic self-annihilation at various points in relation to the machine, using the force of presence so that the machine obstacles are slowly but inexorably eroded. This is not intended to be something that happens just once in a while in a weekend workshop. And there's Jim's question again. How do you do it? How do you do it consistently? There it is again. Post that question on your forehead every time there's a chance to use the force of presence. That's what it right there. What a nice phrase that is. And this is a true force. It's an electrical force. talks a little bit about subjective music. I'm backing up a little bit. Various unexpected biological reactions, do you see that?
Yeah.
To the presence of love inevitably occur. Your biology will react to it. The shaman doesn't try to conquer these reactions. It remains as calmly as possible exposed to the cleansing radiation of the pure force love. Taking note of the inevitable fears which seem to spring from nowhere and nothing.
Haven't we all, don't we understand this then? Spasmodic responses of the self-protective muscle system. It's our way of getting out of the space of invocation has that burning radiation of electricity to it. And the ego, doing what the ego's supposed to do, self-preservation. It's trying to preserve itself, that's
right.
All. And in a certain context, you can have compassion for it. But it is not meant to be in this space. But it will react, and then by gently surrendering in that space, allow more of that presence to come in. And when more comes in, then more can come in. That's funny. It is. The explosive force of love could be said to resemble a ton and a half of magnesium flares igniting simultaneously in the left front breast pocket. We're then expected to somehow shape and draw it with our bare teeth. I mean, it's a little dramatic, but on the other hand, sometimes it is that fierce. And in those moments of fierceness, take a stand. Take a stand that you're going to stay there and not leave, even if it's just for one more second. As professionals, don't step out of love. We use love, move in love, open ourselves up to love, shape it, form it, funnel it, channel it, sculpt it, direct it, intensify it, concentrate and dispel it. And for this, we must apply a special type of attention mastered through the special exercise of will, which develops a level of attention far beyond that the average human being. Of course we know that. Of course we understand that. A lot of this is to allow that energy to come in, and the big exercise in a case like that is actually surrender to it. Allow that pain to be there for just one extra second. And it's not that you and your giant ego become bigger. It's that you actually become less and you surrender so that it has a chance to express. We must also know that love itself is the object upon which we are focused. Love is like lightning. We must have compassion while handling it, even compassioning for the lightning itself. Compassion is an attribute accessible to and it's a necessary form for any lightning handler. And as we do this more, we're going to sense what it feels like to this crackling of the lightning handler. And the lightning handler then develops the skills of being of more excellence and more elegance in those spaces. And then more is possible at that time. We're bound to crackle just a bit when handling it. The end of the next paragraph.
Yeah, right.
If we intend to handle lightning, we are constrained to, without hesitation, become only that which cannot be lost when lightning strikes. What is that again? It cannot be lost?
Your essential self.
What did we forget already, 3 pages later? What cannot be lost is the presence. When we are in presence, it cannot be lost. We are that which cannot be lost. So it's only our massive, almost infinite.
Well, it means we must be free of the primate morphology, saying.
Nicely put.
Just like it's saying, this giant ego is a primate morphology.
Is it really possible for macro-dimensional shaman to self-arise from stupid, fearful, weak, and delicate, needful, self-pampered creatures calling themselves human beings? Crawling around on the mucky crust of a little mud ball, spinning in a space at the farthest edge of an obscure galaxy? The absurdity of such a concept must give a serious pause. Without some sort of miracle to give them a spine, heart, and deeper perception, we can hope for little more along this line than the sale of a few thousand books. So what is that miracle? What's the miracle? Does anybody know what the answer is? Is there an answer? Did anybody put the answer up? What is the miracle? I'm going to ask it in writing.
Molly is going to.
It's actually, what is the miracle? Some miracle. Are we just an object? So Jim tells us that the miracle is called what again, Molly?
Opening to love.
Ah, he says the miracle is open to love. At
miracle whip.
So the first.
Don't go there.
So the first kick, in a sense, is free. Some accident has occurred, but it occurred for everybody that's here or who will be listening to this talk. That miracle did, in fact, occur. It is the next phase of to be open to love that keeps us in the game. That's miracle two. That's the miracle number two. It keeps us in the game, and that you can do something about. We must understand that the genuine necessities of cosmic maintenance and higher evolution cannot be understood by such creatures, the primate in the primate domain. But how can they be expected to cross the
possible
chasm which separates them from the life of a voyager, when only a very small number of them ever have? We strive to become a victim of our own integrity and sense of obligation to the absolute.
So this is another answer to the question.
That's right.
How does that miracle come about?
We
should be the victim of your own integrity.
So if you have one parcel of that sensitivity to this objective grace and the subjective love, objective love, that is what you can call, I will hold to the integrity of that space. Lightning partakes of impartiality, of pure energy. It doesn't see or understand the hurt, pain, suffering. Of course it doesn't. It just is an emanation. I don't know if there's will behind it, but I look at it as God trying to manifest. And we are those vessels. And what can we do? We can cleanse the vessel. And if we can cleanse the vessel, then the bowl is empty for it to be filled. And we can cleanse that vessel through the arc of surrender. The work of evolution toward the work of higher dimensions can be accomplished either by an individual or a group, but a group must be composed of individuals who are really able to share the burden. On the other hand, there is a benefit to the absolute when a group, under certain circumstances, operates as a single unit. That's what we're doing tonight. It's an example of it. We're operating as a single unit, hopefully. We can sense that a little teeny bit. Harry is often, or Pyongya is often mentioned that. The point is not to co-create, but to co-operate together. A lightning handler's job is more of an engineering task than anything else. I love you is an engineering statement. Remember that. Mm-hmm. Attempt to remember that. And use it as a reminding factor instead of to go deeper into the great emotions of the infinite ego, almost infinite ego, then rather let it leverage you into a state of surrender. What is it that enables a shaman to be able to use the force of love without getting damaged? What's the answer again? We talked the whole chapters about this. Did somebody put the answer down? What is it that enables a shaman to be able to use the force of love without being blasted away? Chapter with the last page, and we don't know the answer to the.
Well, here we go. How about the next to the last chapter? The rest of the last paragraph. Nothing stands in the face of the absolute, and nothing but a nothing with a functioning presence and attention is exactly what we'd better become if we expect to get some work done in the vast domains of this great cosmic labyrinth.
So we can, if you can, surrender. It's a tricky thing. If we can surrender to the grace and love that is possible here, not try to give up the ego, but attempt to accept the cleansing radiation of that powerful grace that comes through, and notate the squirming spasms that we go through as just an element to deal with. And that element to deal with, we just figure it out. Deal with it. That's what I say. Deal with it.
Let me make another suggestion. By the time we get to the end of this chapter, in regard to practice, it strikes me that this is like a capsule of the entire human biological machine and possibly practical work on self as well, because he's touched on, in this chapter, he's touched on the invocation of presence, such on the development of attention, that the essential self has attention and presence to work with. And this is, now he's at the stage of saying, as this question that was brought up in the human biological machine, well, what is the use of the waking state? What is the purpose of getting into the waking state, having the machine in the waking state and having the essential self invoking presence? And now he's saying this has to do with the being able to stand in the face of this love energy. Of the absolute and of the love energy. And so I'm just saying, in answer to Jim, you know, that in a sense, every attention practice and the practical work on self and every invocation of presence practice that you do would be a building block, would be part of this process of leading to annihilation, to being able to have something left.
It is
always, to have something still be present after annihilation.
It is always around us. Mediums and psychics do it for fun and for money. Ego.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start to taste this thing, oh, I'm going to use it for my ego because then I'm going to be better for it. I'm going to have a bigger ego. I'm going to dominate. Da, 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 da. Yeah, you can do that. But there is no door wide enough in this presence that allows that ego to get into this kingdom. No door is wide enough. It is only wide enough for, in the next paragraph, the noun called nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking here about, I think I'll just stand aside for a minute and I'll experience this big stuff. Uh-uh. Game over. You are asked to become and be a nothing. Not from an ego sense, but in the sacred space called nothing. And in the sacred space called nothing, grace can descend. And when love and grace descend at that moment, then there is something left after annihilation that can begin to do the work. Nothing stands in the face of presence, in the face of the absolute. That is what stands there.
Well, but a nothing with a functioning presence and attention.
Now I am experiencing the clear light
of objective reality, and nothing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our beginning work will therefore consist, oh, he says our beginning work.
Yeah.
I see, we're just beginning.
Yeah, right.
Will therefore consist of those steps necessary to rid ourselves of whatever is in us to get cried out by an overdose of God. Now, pause a moment and listen carefully. We're expected to develop some sort of immunity to high voltage electricity. And the best immunity is total identity to become love. There you have it. So, who is the master that you would like to serve? We know how that works most of the time. The master is my ego. I'm just going to be better and better and stronger. I'm going to give you these tools to become a better blank. I don't care what it is because it's always ego. It's always that. And only when you're determined to be of service and allow the grace of the Absolute to come through you and function with big L love and allow that presence to burn away that which is holding us down onto this planet. When you're willing to do that form of surrender, then something's possible. So, there you have it. Lightning handlers always crackle, and they certainly do. So now the challenge, and I'm so, we always take this stuff and we go home and we just go, oh yeah, I had a really good experience about this. I say take this and take 2 minutes or 1 minute and put yourself out there and put it in, make some of those comments now. Ivan has expressed this a number of times. Now is the time to do it. Because now you're not dead locked into the ego. To take the presence that you helped create and are part of at this moment, place some of that onto the site so others can see what comes after. Leave that there as a marker on the path. With that said, I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight, and we'll take it up again next week when we're going to take on Chapter 9.
Right. But you're asking people to post under Chapter 8, right?
Post under Chapter 8.
I'm going to post something on there.
Post under Chapter 8 on this
school.
Maybe all you can do is post what your experience was tonight. Post it down there. What happened? Don't take it all to bed with you. Leave a little there for others. Next week we'll do Chapter 9. Thanks for coming. Take care.
Good night, all.